All right. Looks like my clock is already ticking on me, so I better get this kicked off so we have time enough to go through all the content. Let me start by saying thank you for coming to my session. You're right after lunch, so hopefully the carbohydrates aren't going to kick in and you need too much caffeine as we get started here. Make sure we're level set here and you're in the right place. I'm going to be talking about the Microsoft Private Cloud Fast Track program and also the hardware iterations that we have gone through to deliver a System Center product. Now, I do have a partner in crime here, Brian Sarasi, who is my peer from an engineering perspective, will be up here a little bit later. But first, I'm probably the only man in the history of PowerPoint that actually speaks to his title slide. And I actually talked to this title slide for two reasons. Number one is the name on it, the Microsoft Private Cloud Fast Track. We took a branding change to this program about 8-9 months ago. It was originally called, in its first iteration, the Hyper-V Cloud Fast Track program. But we came to the realization that cloud is more than just virtualization. Cloud is really about being able to manage that virtualization. Previously inside Microsoft, I was a storage expert. And I remember when I first started talking to customers about cloud and how to manage virtualization, and they're going, we really need virtualization. We've got to have virtualization. It solves all of these problems for us. And it absolutely did. Problem is that it also created, virtualization in itself created some new problems. No longer could you walk down that data center and say, oh, amber light, ooh, amber light, ooh, that looks like it's not good at all, let's change it out. Now, where are your VMs? Where do they reside? Did they just migrate over a geopolitical boundary? Are they on a spindle that's bad? Do you know? And so, really, when we rebranded this program, and synced with the Microsoft messaging that you heard earlier today in Brad Anderson's keynote, is it's all, private cloud is about the management suite. So we name this Microsoft Private Cloud Fast Track because it does, System Center is a key component. Now, I kind of mentioned that there's two reasons that I have this slide up here. The other one is purely egotistical. I really like seeing my name up on the big screen every now and then, so I keep it up there. That's why I talk to it for about 5 minutes, is I keep it up there for a while. And Brian gets some kudos here, too. Brian Sarasi is, again, my peer in the in the engineering side of the house. He does the scary smart stuff around making sure that this meets the Microsoft product suite. Oh, got to point it at the thing. There we go. So quick agenda, I won't spend too much time on here. I'm going to cover about the first three bullet points and about the last two, and then give Brian a chance to really go over the architecture and the solutions that we have either in market today or that are coming to market. This program does not happen without the partners. Let me be very clear about that. And we have a lot of my partners in this room today. After our talk, I'm going to be asking several of them to come up and be up here for the final 10 minutes or so to be available for you to ask questions about their solutions and what we do. Brian and I will obviously also be up here to talk to you about the program in general, how we create our architectures and what have you. But I do want to hit that we have a great group of partners that make this possible. So what is Fast Track? It's this amorphous name. You won't see it really on any products that are out there because it's not a product. When you see something delivered from one of the partners, it's in their name, and I agree with that completely. Is I don't force the Fast Track name on the partners because what they deliver to you as customers is their product. They use our guidance and our reference architecture. But at the end of the day, they're delivering a product that solves a business need. So first of all, Fast Track is simply, it's compute, networking, and storage. It's what you've always used. It's your favorite hardware vendor. It's that favorite server that you have. It's that network, and it's that storage that you have in your environment. So from a hardware perspective, there's really nothing scary or worrisome about Fast Track. From a software perspective, you're sitting on top of Hyper-V and System Center 2012. Hyper-V has been around for, 3 years now? I'm sure most of you are running virtualization in your environments today, whether it's ours or someone else's. And it's System Center 2012. As you saw today in the keynote demos, there's some really cool things now that come to market with System Center 2012 and drive our private cloud solution. And so that's a key differentiator for me is that Fast track is not this big scary thing. It's just really what you've already been playing with. It's already what you have. Next thing fast track is, it's a validated design. I'll talk a little bit about, more about this in just a little bit, but it's a design that Microsoft came up with and then worked with the hardware partners. I said the partners are all important to this program, and they are. As Microsoft took that design, and it is truly a reference architecture, it's a piece of paper. It's what it is. It is truly a reference architecture, common, but the OEMs and the partners turn it into a reference implementation. And for you architects out there, hopefully I'm speaking your language. What that reference implementation is it's a physical solution that shows up on your loading dock. It's something ready for you to use in your environment. So it's not we're not asking you to buy this piece of paper. We use this piece of paper. Microsoft, Brian, works directly with those hardware partners to bring you a physical solution that the two companies have put the best and the brightest together to make for you. So far, you know, again, I'm hoping there's nothing here that's overly worrisome. And then it's a reference implementation that is ready to integrate into your environment. There's going to be Active Directory integration. There's going to be workload movement. It's ready there for you to use as you need. It's there to solve a business problem. You'll hear me at the very end about the second to the last slide. I mentioned business before technology. This is a solution that I want you to solve a business problem for. I'm not asking you to buy a bunch of blinky lights. What I'm asking you to do is look at your environment and see where your business problems are and see if there's a solution out there for you. And that's really key to me. Let's talk about the history and the sausage making. What is Fast Track? How does it come into being? One of the things I talk about with when we come with this product is really what I call the three groups that have input to creating our private cloud. The first group is our customers. Yes, we use our customers to build this. What do the customers want? They want choice. They want scalability. They want elasticity. And how do we do that? Well, I have a great group of Microsoft Consulting Services architects that build this reference architecture. So the reference architecture isn't sat down inside the Microsoft product group, who are very, very scary smart people, and they create what they think you need. We go out and I employ MCS to build this based on their experiences in what I'll call, quote unquote, the real world, in your environments. So we take that feedback from the customer and we say, okay, what should this look like in a real-world environment? So that's what I would call the voice of the customer. The second group I call is the voice of the technology for creating this program. And the voice of the technology, I utilize Brian from the server product group and System Center and all of these different product groups. They tell me what's coming next. So for example, we've been working on the System Center 2012 product now for about the last 6 months for Fast Track. So that's the voice of the technology. We try to bring light to the technology into real-world solutions for you. And the voice of the business is how do we deliver this solution as a solution to solve business before technology? Is that's key. So the history of the Fast Track program goes all the way back to Tech at EMEA in 2010. So November 2010. We released the first version of Fast Track. It was on the down-level versions of System Center, and it was in the market, and we had six charter partners that we launched with then. We iterated this product in August of 2011, and what we did there is we heard your feedback. We heard the partner's feedback. We heard the customer's feedback. What was being asked for is, number one, dynamic memory. We came out with this Service Pack 1, and we were looking to get this dynamic memory in there. So, cool, we'll write a reference architecture and iterate to get this dynamic memory in. The second thing we'll do is we were asked for smaller and smaller configurations. We started out a configuration with 8 server nodes. Can we get it to 4? Can we get smaller? And so we came up with a new reference design. Instead of 1, 2, that co-located the management nodes. Ryan can talk a little bit more about that in his part. But we keep iterating this program. It's a living, breathing program. It keeps going. As you see today, the internal name for this is our version 2 of the product. Externally, it's Microsoft Private Cloud Fast Track for System Center 2012. And again, technology iterates the program. We're driving the System Center product, and it's driving us. So kind of the sausage making here is Brian and I looked in the product planning. We figure out what's coming next. We know what products are coming down the line inside Microsoft. We work with the various product groups. We have the content created for us. That's where we go to. I see some MCS folks over here. And in the booth out there in the pavilion, the guys in the black shirts from the data center services team, go talk to those guys. I think there's like 40 of them on site today and this week. They're the ones who go out and work with the customers. They see what's going on in what, again, quote unquote, with the little air colons, what's going on in the real world. And they use that knowledge and experience of the customer to develop something that is tailored with your feedback in mind. We then validate these solutions. Validation means we have a full set of criteria that we go through to say this solution is ready and it meets a bar so that it is the best solution for both Microsoft and the partner. The go-to-market, that's what you're doing right here. Nice stuff, all the banners you saw, I won't get into that too much. And then we have the sustained engineering. Just because we launched today and we have the solutions ready to go, we keep delivering solutions. The partners have been fantastic about adopting the program and keeping and delivering cadence going. That's Fast Track in a nutshell. That's how it happens. That's its history. I always like to do the whole build on this slide. But where does it fit in the Microsoft strategy? Well, Microsoft looks at the private cloud in really three avenues. The first is the upper, for you guys, left-hand side. And that's kind of the guidance, the do-it-yourselfers. I'm all for the do-it-yourselfers. In fact, we're going to be printing guidance both in terms of the deployment guides and what have you, so that you can do that. But let me ask you folks this, and I have this conversation with quite a few execs from companies, is most IT shops that I know and IT admins don't have 6 months of bench time to figure out how to put this thing, how to put a private cloud together. 3 to 6 months. IT admins are busy. We all know it. I mean, there's 1,000 different things coming at them, and everyone is high priority. So instead of the do-it-yourself time, I would make the argument that it makes a lot more sense to let Microsoft and the partner build this solution, validate it. I use the minds from the field over here, from MCS. I use the minds that know the hardware better than anyone in the world because they make it. I use the minds from the product group that know the product better than anyone in the world because, yes, again, they make it. And we put this thing together for you. Instead of having, you know, spending all that time, we let you focus on your core business, delivering services in your IT and delivering the product that your company makes money on. And on your far right is the hosted private cloud. Absolutely fine to go out to those hosters, but you're going to have products and you're going to have services that either you're not ready to go to that private cloud, or for whatever compliance reasons, you know, whether that's HIPAA, whether that's SOX or anything else, there are certain things that you are going to need to have internally. Just the way it works. It's the nature of business today. You know that better than I do. Fast Track sits right in the center of all that. We take the best of the do-it-yourself and the best of, say, off-premises, put it all into one package that shows up on your loading dock. It's ready there for a services play, if you'd like. If you want to integrate everything, pay someone to do it, or you do it yourself. But you can tailor it to your own needs. The SQL appliance, the DCOE, which is over there in the server aquarium, is a Fast Track design. So it's ready for workload and workload tuning. It's there to solve a business problem. So let's go on to what is in a Fast Track. I talked a little bit about this architecture, and I kind of like this slide because I always pigeonhole on the usage base, and we'll get to that in a second. But as I mentioned, Fast Track is the compute, network, and storage. Brad mentioned it as well. It's really the infrastructure, and it's infrastructure you're used to. You don't have to choose one set of hardware and one implementation. if you have any hardware you have in your environment, I can nearly bet that our list of solutions has your hardware vendor, your preferred vendor in it. Almost, I would guess, 90% of the room is going to show up on our hardware solutions. It's Hyper-V, as I said. It's Windows Server Hyper-V. It's SP2, which is not on this slide. And the major differentiation there is you get to use dynamic memory, which really gives you a scale-up message. It's System Center. You saw the cool things we're doing with System Center and the power that System Center 2012 gives you, especially when it comes down to the ability to self-heal. Brad's keynote showed that nice little line that showed, okay, we may have a problem in the networking layer, and it would show you. Fast Track, it's a requirement of the partners to have management packs. We not only manage what I'll call the software layer, you know, that nice layer of VMs, but we also, a requirement is to manage that hardware layer. Great solutions from the partners in this space between creating their management packs, which may surface a problem with your NIC. That problem goes into Service Manager in your environment. Service Manager clicks off a ticket and says, "Okay, NIC is bad, or we're getting latency through this one through this one path." You can either have automation built in that says, "Okay, let's move all that off and notify somebody via email," or if you don't have the automation set up, you just say, "Okay, we need a ticket. Someone needs to go out and fix this." But that all of that is enabled through the great work, the partner differentiated software technology that is in Fast Track. Now, I mentioned I like to go through the right-hand side. For those of you who read the NIST definitions, I'm not going to bore you with the details of what NIST says is a private cloud. But it's got the pooled resources. It's truly elastic. As you saw today, if you have a Fast Track, let's say you buy a half rack of a Fast Track from one of the vendors, and you want to expand it, you don't have to go out and buy a whole new half rack. You just need one blade of compute, like was shown today. Right-click, add it. Fine. Have a nice day. It is truly an elastic solution. It allows you to quickly and easily expand your resources without buying a completely new one to slap on top of it. Continuous availability, predictable. I always stop on UC space because UC space to me is one of the most important aspects of a private cloud. Being able to monitor and then do chargebacks against your environment are key. It shows IT differentiation. However, I do have to tell a story that kind of shocked me once. Is I was giving this message to a CIO, I think it was, and I was talking about usage base, and I was talking about ability to charge back, and I was talking about all these things. And he looked at me and says, "Usage base is fine, but I don't want to use chargeback." I'm going, "What do you mean you don't want to use chargeback? It's cool. You can monetize all this stuff. It's great, great. You know, all those nice terminology we use." He looked me flat out and said, "You know, I don't need to chase a number across the top of a spreadsheet to know that I need to expand things. I'm not going to do chargeback." So it's really, again, a business before technology. It's the business decision on whether or not they use the usage-based and whether or not they do it, but it hasn't. It's a key component. So there's the high-level architectural principles. What I want to do now is bring up Brian Cerasi, who will give you the more depth technical and go through the partner solutions. Brian?
There we go. Good afternoon. As mentioned, my name is Brian Cerasi. I'm a senior program manager on the Windows Server Hyper-V team. I've been with Hyper-V pretty much since the beginning. I was actually part of the virtual PC launch, the virtual server launch, Hyper-V and Windows Server 2008 and Server 2008 R2, and of course Hyper-V coming in Windows 8 moving forward. And over the last several years, I've kind of overseen the engineering aspects of Hyper-V Cloud Fast Track, which of course is now Microsoft Private Cloud Fast Track, which of course Hyper-V is a key component. So Mike and I are kind of partners in crime, delivering the business strategy and the technical strategy for Fast Track. So as Mike mentioned, you know, the core components is compute, networking, storage, management, and of course with that, virtualization, automation, service management, tenant, self-service. These are kind of the core crux components. And I want to touch on it one more time, where we get this content from. Obviously, the big rev for version 2 of FastTrack, as Mike mentioned, is the System Center 2012 components, the whole stack, orchestrator, operations manager, virtual machine manager, all the key components is what we focused heavily on in FastTrack version 2. But where did we get this content? Again, as Mike mentioned, we got it, number one, from the product group. They're the ones designing it. They're the ones understanding what the features and the functionality are. Number two, again, we've engaged with MCS. These are the guys out in the field. So now we've kind of taken it a little bit from the academic approach and really more where the rubber meets the road. When you really scale this out, where your database is sitting for your various management components. Where is your SQL database for operations manager? How is that highly available? Where is your database for all the other System Center components as well? And so we have strategy about what things get guest clustered, what things get host clustered, what System Center components have native high availability built in. So this is kind of the architecture of taking these components and how does it best make sense. And then the third aspect that we've leveraged heavily is what was referred to as the OneTap. So OneTap was, and many of you in this room might have actually been involved with this, this was the technical adoption program. So this was during the development of the System Center 2012 product, engaging closely with a handful of customers to actually do real deployments in their environments, in production, and again, garner that feedback, understand what the bugs are, what the scalability limitations are, and bring that information back. So that was a multi-million dollar TAP program combined with all the services engagements that are out in the real world, combined with the academic approach of the product group, all brought together to design what FastTrack really is. So this is the DDC reference model. Some of you may be familiar with this as well. And the reason I want to show this is, inside of Microsoft, one of our key goals is to make sure that when we're architecting private cloud, whether it's FastTrack, whether it's an MCS service-led engagement, wherever it's coming from, that we are relying upon the same design principles across all of our private cloud solutions. And then the DCS reference model, we have basically this lifecycle management, which goes down and defines the operations aspect and the management aspects for your infrastructure as well. Knowledge management, fabric management, and these go in and basically manage your different pieces of your physical infrastructure. The infrastructure, the platform, and the software and services sitting on top. So this is from a reference perspective, this is really the DDC model and the model that we also leverage as far as FastTrack. And you've probably seen this slide as well. When we were architecting System Center 2012, again, our focus was on leveraging all the technology, all the features. Orchestrator is new to market, so we have a lot of workflow automation, we have a lot of processes built in, and we wanted to leverage it. This slide is kind of being used consistently throughout this week, but this is basically when you look at the fabric provider, the services provider, and the service consumer, basically what component of the System Center stack is delivering that service. Now, when we look at the architecture in general, and what I'm going to talk about here, and we're going to go over the next few slides, is kind of high level how we design FastTrack and what the architecture is. What I'm also pleased to announce is in previous version, in FastTrack version 1, a lot of our kind of deep technical decision-making processes, why we went down, why we broke out the compute nodes in the way we did, why we designed the management nodes in the way we did, how we orchestrated and designed the fabric, network fabric, storage fabric. A lot of this was kind of kept in-house. And we engaged directly with our OEMs to talk about what the requirements are, what the minimum bar is, where they should be shooting and aiming for. But in version 2, over the next several weeks or approximately a month or so, we're actually going to be publishing a lot of this content as well. So not only if you want to actually understand what were the decision processes, what we went through, what architecturally are our minimum bars and things of that nature, you'll be seeing this content come out available publicly on the web as well. So do look forward to that. But when we look at our compute, one thing you'll notice here is this is not just simple commodity servers. This isn't the cheapest, littlest servers possible. When we look at private cloud with FastTrack, and we look at the type of workloads that are going to be running on this, these are not stateless workloads. Some people may be familiar with Azure, and Azure has some models where they're truly stateless workloads, where if the workload goes down, big deal, just spin up another one. The workloads we're going to be hosting on this private cloud can be SQL databases, they can be Exchange, they can be SharePoint, they could be SAP. They can be traditional applications that have full stateful information, that if that goes down, the data will be lost. You need to make sure then, in this type of architecture, that we have high availability, we have redundancy, we have scalability. So when we look at the different aspects of compute, storage, and networking, again, we're not talking about commodity stuff, we're talking about multiple paths. We're talking about high availability. We're talking about fault tolerance in all our components, down to NIC teaming, down to the switches, to RAID levels on the servers, to the power supplies out of the servers, making sure that we basically have fault tolerance and redundancy at every single aspect. So in general, this is an example of some of our minimum configurations. It says 64 servers in a cluster node. This is just kind of architecturally the scale unit size. We actually have some deviation in that in some of our smaller FastTrack configurations as well. But in general, we're looking at dual socket systems, minimum 6 cores per socket, approximately 196 gigabytes of RAM. But what's also interesting about FastTrack configurations, and when you start digging into the specific solutions from our different OEMs, we have minimum scale and we have maximum scale. So we can start down as little as, you know, 96 gigabytes of RAM or even potentially less, and then scale it up. And when we look at some models in a minute, you'll see when you buy FastTrack, it's not, I'm stuck. Not only can I actually add more compute units to the infrastructure, but I can potentially add some more RAM, in some cases add some more networking or some more processor as well. So there's some flexibility. You can start small and have it naturally grow without having to re-architect your network infrastructure or your storage infrastructure. So when we're looking across it, there are a lot of options that we bring to the table when we engage with our OEMs. And again, FastTrack is not just how Microsoft does it. It's allowing the OEMs to bring in their specific value-add hardware and their value-add software to create a complete end-to-end Microsoft and partner solution. So it's integrated. The key here is it's not just our way. We have some flexibility to say when the OEM says, I have this new technology, it provides XYZ, we allow it, we analyze it, we figure out how it integrates, we figure out what the benchmarks need to be for that component, and then we validate the end-to-end solution. So just as an example here on network, we have different options whether or not you're reusing 1 Gigabit E, with no iSCSI over the network connection, so no converged network. We have different requirements around 1 Gigabit E with iSCSI, and then we also have different requirements about segmenting your network traffic if you're using 10 gig connections as well. So we have different options, and this really focuses on different scale sizes. With FastTrack version 1, we really, our sweet spot was around 8 compute nodes to 16. That was kind of where a lot of our solutions were coming in. But in version 2, we see a lot of need for smaller solutions, 4 compute nodes, and some need for larger solutions, 32 to 64 compute nodes. And so as you scale from small to medium to large, some of these design points are going to change, and we have that flexibility in our architecture fundamentally. Storage array, we have specific requirements around capacity to support different customer workloads. So we have the concept of small, medium, large workloads, and we look at what capacity, what the consolidation ratio is going to be on these different FastTrack solutions. And in networking, again, we have requirements around different speeds of gigabit Ethernet connections. LAN connectivity, we have requirements around VLAN tagging, around trunking, and things of this nature as well. Now, when it comes specifically to management, as I alluded to before, our design point in version 1 was really kind of starting around the 8 compute node perspective. And when you start getting to that scale and larger, architecturally it makes sense to actually break out your management workloads into separate compute nodes. So in this case, we actually had two dedicated compute nodes that were in a clustered environment running all the different system center components. Those were completely separated and isolated from the other nodes in a separate cluster, which were designed for running all your traditional virtual machine workloads. In some cases, even the storage that it was connected to was different. So in some fast track solutions, we had tiered storage, where the management was connected to one class of storage and the compute nodes were connected to another class of storage. And so this is what we're seeing right here, where we actually have two dedicated servers and a cluster node. Here are some of our fundamental requirements around what they must accomplish. And if we actually dig a little bit deeper, from a system center perspective, we still have this design option in version 2 of FastTrack, which is all around System Center 2012. So here, graphically, you can get an understanding where the different System Center components are actually running, whether they're running on a guest cluster, we're actually clustering the virtual machines together, two guests clustered together, whether or not that application or that System Center component has native high availability built in. Or the third option is some of the components are leveraging host clustering, so the virtual machine has the ability for high availability if the host goes down. So this was design option one for our medium to larger configurations where you're actually breaking out the management components from your compute components. And design option two, and again, this really stemmed from the desire to creating smaller cloud solutions, potentially even branch office private cloud solutions. When you're starting to get down in the range of 6 nodes or 4 nodes, breaking out the management infrastructure onto separate compute nodes is still a good practice, but almost from a cost perspective, kind of an ROI, return on investment perspective, it can be prohibitive, where you're actually having half of your compute dedicated strictly to management. So we worked on a second design option for these smaller configurations where actually you're converging both your management and your virtual machine workload traffic onto the same cluster. We're no longer breaking out clusters. And again, the whole point here is to say that we have these different design options and design patterns based on scale, based on the hardware components available from the OEM, and based on a price per performance ratio. Just talking briefly about some of our components, again, we have requirements, and when the documentation is public, you'll be able to see more of this information, but we have requirements around if you're doing iSCSI converged networks. One of our requirements, by the way, is to have iSCSI available. And the reason here is we do not allow currently in Windows Server 2008 R2 Hyper-V to allow guest clusters, two virtual machines that may be, for example, running a SQL cluster, to be connected to fiber channel storage. Now, I am pleased to say that in Windows 8, that will be changing. We actually have fiber channel inside of the virtual machine. But for the time being, we actually have to do guest clustering via iSCSI. So we have specific requirements in the design of this infrastructure to have iSCSI. And in multiple cases, the OEM still wants to go fiber channel. So in some solutions, we have fiber channel right next to iSCSI. In other solutions, the OEMs are actually using an iSCSI to fiber channel bridge. But these are some of the requirements to make sure all of your workloads, if they're clustered, if they're not clustered, will work on the FastTrack solution. NIC software, as I mentioned, we're always looking for high availability, so we do NIC teaming software inside of the virtual machine and potentially on the host, designing on the design, depending on the design configuration. Also, we have specific design requirements around fiber channel over Ethernet, and if you're actually doing a traditional converged network where you're bringing both your storage and your traditional network traffic over the same cards and over the same network infrastructure. So we have very detailed, specific requirements about that as well. And then, of course, we also have design practices and recommendations around traditional fiber channel, where you have a traditional fiber channel network to your storage and a separate connections or a separate fabric for your Ethernet connections as well. Now, with storage, again, as we started to kind of expand Fast Track into larger solutions and smaller solutions, again, there's different design points that make sense from a performance, a scalability, a reliability, and a price perspective as you scale up and as you scale down. We wanted to be able to give the option of some solutions having tiered storage, where you're leveraging high-end storage, expensive storage for some workloads, and cheaper, less expensive storage for other workloads. So we actually have design considerations as well. Here on the left, you can see a traditional way of basically breaking out the storage into multiple LUNs or multiple CSV volumes, where we may have a volume for the virtual machine operating systems. These are your workloads running on your cloud. A separate volume for the virtual machine databases. So if it's high I/O for the database, you may be breaking that out separately. We have another CSV volume specifically for the virtual machine logging. And then we have a fourth and a fifth volume for staging and for VM configuration files. We also have recommendations around when you would want to turn on dedupe and when that feature is necessary for your SAN and when you're not going to need dedupe. But we also have in smaller solutions the model over here where we simply have one large CSV storing everything. So the point here is we'd like to say one cloud solution across the whole scale spectrum of every configuration possible, but it's not practical and it doesn't leverage the hardware properly. We have to have different scale solutions, different storage solutions for different scales of product. We also have recommendations in our guidance around VM storage placement. So oftentimes when you look at a single virtual machine workload running on your infrastructure, it might actually have multiple VHD files. So we have the OS VHD file, you have your data disk, and you have your logs, all for one virtual machine workload. We have recommendations, if you're breaking out your storage, as to where those different virtual hard disks should be placed on your tiered storage. And this is you've probably seen this slide as well. Before we go into the specific partner solutions, I wanted to bring this up. This is really delivering IT as a service. This is the System Center 2012 model. So on the left, you have the application owner. On the right, you have kind of the domain administrator. Application owner working from the left to the right, really the first thing and always a critical component of any Fast Track or any private cloud solution is going to be the self-service aspect. This is really removing the application owner from the infrastructure owner. When an application owner goes to deploy their application on any private cloud solution, they don't want to have to think about what host am I going on, what part of the tiered storage is proper, what part of the network segment, am I have the right amount of memory, is it going to be able to scale, is it going to be highly available. From an application owner perspective, they view the cloud as infinite resource. All they want to do is go to the self-service portal, deploy the application to the cloud, and the infrastructure naturally understands where it should go, what compute node makes best sense, and what scale requirements it should be given. So the self-service portal goes into a service model, the service and delivery automation using PowerShell, using Orchestrator workflow automation, goes ahead and deploys. This is the general system center model where you can go into a private cloud, a public cloud. You could be deploying a virtual machine. You could be deploying a physical machine as well. And then just simply mapping all the system center components and where they play. Again, this is the general model and the general applications that we leverage in Fast Track to be able to deliver this model. Okay, so next, and this is kind of the fun and the exciting part, as I mentioned and as Mike mentioned, Fast Track is really around partner engagement. It's not simply Microsoft's best patterns and practices, but it's us combined with our great hardware partners. If you were at the keynote this morning, you saw this slide. We're pleased to announce that all these partners are engaged with us in Hyper-V Cloud Fast Track version 2. So when you're thinking about private cloud, some people say, I'm a Dell shop, or I'm HP shop, or I'm a NetApp shop. Well, guess what? We have solutions. So if you already have engagements and already have a preference from a hardware perspective, the likelihood is we have engagements with them. If you're the other, we're saying, I don't have any loyalty, The great news is we have a lot of people from every one of these partners here. At the very end, when we do questions and answers, we're going to invite the different partners up with us. We're not going to do the mics in the middle of the room. We're actually going to ask you to come up, and you can congregate and ask specific questions around each one of these solutions that we're going to outline here in just a minute. In addition, most of these partners have presence here. Some have sessions. Most of them have booths. Some of them actually have their Fast Track version 2 configurations based on System Center 2012 built here at MMS that you can go look at, you can go get more information about. So the key here is we have the key partners with us. These are all the guys that are engaged and working to deliver Fast Track version 2 based on System Center 2012. So taking a look, and this is simply an alphabetical listing of some of our solutions. So the first one we have here is Cisco combined with EMC storage. Going through this kind of quickly, it's based on the scale size is really between 8 and 16 nodes based on the B200s, VNX 53 storage array, both fiber channel and iSCSI, which again is a requirement. They're using Nexus Converge, SAN, and networking, boot from SAN, Converge fiber channel, and fiber channel over Ethernet. It's a great solution. You can actually go to the Cisco booth today and get more information about this solution. Looking forward, we also have Dell. Dell was one of our original Fast Track version 1 partners. Dell is currently working on a solution that's also going to be available in the June timeframe. So basically, to be able to talk about it here at MMS, we've already gone through the process of validating the reference architecture design. So we already know specifically what's being built. We've gone through the academic exercise to say, will this meet our scale requirements? Will this meet our high availability requirements? The answer is yes. And our second requirement is these solutions must be available in market in the June timeframe. So the Dell solution, we've already validated the reference architecture. And as Mike said, the second piece of that is doing physical on-site validation. We sit on-site with our MCS staff, and we go through the physical infrastructure. We do testing. We do performance testing. We make sure that basic functionality works. We make sure that what we've designed from an architectural perspective actually works. And a critical component to that as well is our deployment guidance. Not only must it work, but it must be repeatable. So each OEM is required to write prescriptive deployment guidance of how to take this strictly from bare metal all the way up to private cloud, both through, you know, clickstream guidance as well as through automation deployment scripting. So the Dell solution using Dell Open Management Packs, Action Packs, this is also a critical component. This isn't separate hardware from the management. They must integrate. The System Center stack is designed to be able to integrate with hardware through Management Packs, Pro Packs, Dell Action Packs, for example, to be able to, number one, understand what's happening with the health and the performance of the hardware, and to be able to take action. So it's not a dumb system. System Center must understand what these hardware components are using. The Dell solution is based on the PowerEdge M620 blades, and also some of the new technologies that they're bringing to market, specifically the Force 10 networking components and their new Compellit Series 40 storage components as well. Dell is here with us both after this session as well as in the pavilion if you want more information. We also have the Hitachi Fast Track solution. So the Hitachi solution is an 8-blade. They have an 8-blade chassis solution. Each blade is two sockets, 8-core processors, Xeon processors. The base configuration is based on 128 gigabytes of RAM. They're using their modular storage 2500 array as well. When we look at HP, we actually have multiple design points coming from HP, the VS1, the VS2, and the VS3 solution. The VS1 solution is really kind of targeted towards the mid-market. It's using the P4500 SAN, A-series switches, the ProLiant DL380s. The base configuration is 96 total cores and a total of 1.5 terabytes of memory. When we take a look at the VS2 solution, and I want to make mention that the VS2 solution is actually in their booths. So when you go to the HP booth, you can take a look at this reel on site. This is more of an enterprise solution, a total of 336 cores, 10 terabytes of memory across the whole infrastructure. This is based on the P4800 SAN and the ProLiant BL460s. And their solution is the VS3. This is the new one to market. This is their largest solution. This is actually is what is running the lab. So this is actually in the fishbowl. So if you're running using a hands-on lab, you're actually running a virtual machine that's being hosted on this infrastructure. This is based on the ProLiant BL460 servers, the 3PAR F400 SAN technology. We do have HP again here as well, so please do contact them if you're interested more on this configuration. And then NetApp, we also have some great solutions from NetApp. This is referred to as the FlexPod with Microsoft Private Cloud. This is NetApp and Cisco. This is based on the Cisco UCS B-Series servers, Cisco Nexus family switches, and this is the NetApp fast storage system. So the integration that they've done here with Operations Manager, with Orchestrator for workflow automation is really quite phenomenal. It is the first fully validated FastTrack 2.0 design. It is available in market today. We'll have a few people from NetApp and Cisco up here again during the question and answer period, so if you have more information. Also, in the NetApp booth, they didn't bring one with them, but they actually have a remote connection back to their corporate offices, so they'll be able to show you some of the workflow automation and show you the interfaces of actually connecting with this solution. And also the hardware, you can go to the Cisco booth and see some of the hardware that was used for this solution as well. And the second NetApp solution is our first one really designed specifically for VDI. So this is validated with Citrix Xen Desktop. It meets all the FastTrack design components, but it's been basically optimized specifically for VDI workloads. So again, if you're interested specifically on this solution, I encourage you to visit NetApp and Cisco. We'll keep going along. As I mentioned, we have all the partners. We have a solution specifically from Fujitsu as well. Fujitsu is based on the Primergy servers, based on the Eternus storage array. It's going to, again, be available in the June timeframe for purchase. And the last solution we have is from NEC as well. NEC is based on the M-Series storage. NEC 10 gigabit intelligent L3 switches and their Express 5800 servers. We have Andy here as well. He'll be coming up. You can engage with both NEC North America and NEC Japan for more information on the solution. Andy will be here for more information at the end of the session as well if you're interested. So again, all the main design or all the main hardware partners, OEM partners, we fully engage with to deliver FastTrack based on System Center 2012. I'll also mention that we are currently working with IBM as well. We're currently working to basically validate the reference architecture. We're not exactly certain what the timing is, but they're engaged with us as well. Now, the last thing before I hand it back over to Mike, switching gears a little bit. How many people are familiar with the MAP tool, Microsoft Assessment and Planning Tool? Great, a number of hands. So many of you may know that they're basically working on the 7.0 version of MAP. MAP does a lot of different components, but the one that always interests me the most is around consolidation. It's around taking your workloads, both physical and virtual, and identifying how to consolidate them onto an infrastructure. Since MAP 6.0, we've actually had integration with FastTrack. So one of the key components of what MAP does is it goes out and completely assesses your current environment. It makes determinations on how many machines are out there, how many virtual, how many physical, what operating system these different things are, and it helps you consolidate them onto an infrastructure. And what we've worked with MAP to do is to be able to consolidate this or give you best guidance on taking an existing environment and consolidating it onto a FastTrack solution. So I'm going to do a brief demo here on how that works. And one of the key new components in the 7.0 version of MAP as well is now they're actually also assessing and helping you plan your Linux workloads. So it's not just your Windows virtual machines or your Windows physical machines in your environment, it's Linux as well. And based on the I/O requirements over a period of time, based on the memory requirements, based on the compute requirements, they'll be able to give you guidance on how it can be consolidated, how much space it will take up on your fast track infrastructure, and how much space you'll have left over. So switching over to my demo box and logging in. So here we actually have map 7.0, and we come over to the bottom right and scroll down. One of the key things you'll see here under cloud is Microsoft Private Cloud FastTrack. So let's go ahead and view this. Now the first thing I want to actually do, now we've already done the assessment. We've already went out and looked at an environment that has hundreds of different workloads running. It's already gathered all that information. Oftentimes you can let that run for weeks on end to make sure that you get the peak workload utilization for all your different workloads. So that's been done, but so what we're gonna take is that data and plug it into FastTrack and see how it fits. So I'm gonna simply click on Microsoft Cloud FastTrack Wizard. Now here's some of our default configurations of FastTrack. These are generically listed here, but they're actually in reference to real FastTrack solutions. We also have the option of our OEM partners to actually inject their specific FastTrack solutions into this tool. And we can go in and take a different look. We can see, so here's a FastTrack 8 to 32 node sample. If we go in and do the view, we can see what the kind of design configuration is of this FastTrack solution. And you'll see we have both a base configuration and a maximum configuration. As I mentioned, FastTrack is designed to scale. You start, but you can actually add more memory, more compute nodes. So when you do planning on how much consolidation you can get on this, it really, we do it twice. We do it on the base configuration, and we do it on the maximum configuration if you were to fully load the servers. So here, for example, number of host 8s, total IOPS, 40,000, SAN storage capacity, processor memory, and down here we have the same information, but for the maximum configuration as well. Right here, max config. So what we can do is say, I'm interested in this particular solution, so I want to map my workloads against this FastTrack solution. You can also set limits. Right now, we're basically saying use 100% of the infrastructure. Use every piece of it that we have. We'll leave that as default. And then we'll go ahead and click Next. And here, it imported what's the number, 162 of the workloads. So these are the workloads that we assessed across the infrastructure. You can see some information around it. Here's the computer name, the operating system that's running inside of the virtual machine, whether it's a virtual machine or a physical machine, if there's a particular workload, if it's running IIS web services or SQL. You can deselect some. If you say, these I don't want to consolidate onto my FastTrack infrastructure, you can do that. For the purposes of this demo, we'll go ahead and select them all. Click Next. This, again, is the infrastructure that it's going to map those workloads against, and I can click Finish. It goes ahead and does the assessment process, it does the mapping process, and it's finished. Now, right here in the middle window is our first kind of report. It talks about the number of Windows servers discovered, number of the performance counters that were inventoried, and then what it starts to do is actually map these workloads onto your host. The base configuration for this FastTrack solution is 8. You can see, based on those 162 workloads, we've only filled up the first 3 nodes. Now, of course, you can say spread it across equally, but for consolidation purposes, we wanted to understand, based on the requirements of each of these workloads, how much of our capacity of this FastTrack solution will be consumed. You can also go and generate a report or a proposal. So this can be used to, you know, bring to your management chain to talk about, you know, a nice fit and finished report talking about what your workloads and what your infrastructure will look like on FastTrack. So the report was generated, and if I come in, I have to scroll down, and the report is dumped in the My Documents folder. We'll go into Map. We'll go into Map. We'll look by date, 4/17 at 3/10. That's the one that was just generated. We'll use the Word report. So it just generated this Word document with all the information about what it discovered and what it's suggesting. If you take a look at it, we scroll down. I have to scroll over. Then we can scroll down. Here's the table of contents. It talks about where your organization is today. So it talks about all the workloads that it assessed. It talks about the benefits of FastTrack itself. It talks about the various FastTrack technologies. And of course, the most critical part is the assessment results, where it mapped your workloads into the infrastructure. If we scroll down, here's the executive overview. There's your organization today. It talks about your physical to virtual machine ratio as it stands today. It talks about FastTrack, the value proposition, and here's again your report summary. It talks about this configuration of the FastTrack solution, and then it talks about mapping your workload specifically onto this FastTrack solution. It also generates an Excel document, which has a lot of detailed information around, again, the different performance characteristics of your workloads and how it maps. So if you're not familiar with this tool right now, it's a phenomenal tool. It's, again, designed to take your existing infrastructure and help you understand how it will fit on a FastTrack configuration that you may be interested in purchasing. So with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Mike. Thank you very much. And again, we'll be here at the very end for any questions and answers. So thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Brian. So I'm going to take us home. I got about 10, 15 minutes left to go. So I love the map tool. It's a great tool. This one's not working, so we'll just do it the old-fashioned way. Maybe we will. There we go. So I talked earlier on about business before technology. I was an ex-storage expert, and I used to be able to go down and look at all those lights, and I'm not interested in FastTrack just going in there and sitting in a server room and blinking. That doesn't jazz me. What I want to know is, what can we do to fix a problem that you have? I talked to a lot of execs through this position, and for example, I had one who I was presenting to, and he's going, well, I really need VDI in my environment. I'm going, okay, well, VDI is a really cool technology. I get that, but why? Why would you use FastTrack to do VDI as opposed to Exchange or SharePoint or SQL or something? He says, well, let me tell you my problem, Mike. Is I have executives who fly all over the world. And they take their laptops, and sometimes that information on those laptops is confidential to our company or what have you. But every time we go through we go through customs, there are times when those laptops are out of our hands. We don't know what's going on with them. What we want to do is make sure that none of our competitive information falls in the hands of places we don't know. We really want the VDI solution because we want nothing located on that physical laptop. We want it coming off. That's a business problem, folks. That's something that we can build and we can have there to solve a problem. Business before technology is all about that. So integration for me is key. These things show up, they've got to do something. They've got to integrate with your Active Directory. They've got to get your workloads on them. They've got to scale out. They've got to be elastic. They've got to meet a business need. System Center, as you saw this morning in the demos, is managing that data center. Heterogeneous environments. Brad was talking about supporting multiple hypervisors. System Center is there to help you meet that business problem. An orchestrator really is a differentiator for us, not only for FastTrack and Microsoft, but also the partners who are in here today, is the ability to orchestrate and make things so much easier for you in the environment is a key business before technology. How do you make sure that if something goes wrong, the example I used before, a network card in your environment, you can orchestrate and your hardware partner can orchestrate that automatically self-healing and then notifying you what was done so that new hardware shows up. So business before technology is very, very key for me. Oh, I guess we did get this to work. So I'm an ex-high school teacher. I joined Microsoft in 98 from being a high school history and English teacher. So one of the things they teach you as a high school teacher is start with what you want your students to learn about over the day. Tell them all the stuff you want to know, and then sum up where you started. So hopefully, if you guys tuned out after the first 2 minutes, these are the three things I'd absolutely love you to walk away with. Number one, fast track is not a scary thing. It's compute, network, and storage that you already know. It's a server operating system in Hyper-V that you already know. And it's System Center that you've used in the past, and you're seeing huge strides and great new functionality in it with System Center 2012. What else would I like you to take away after that first 2 minutes? Is that Fast Track is a partner validated design. It's not Microsoft going, this is what you must do. As Brian mentioned, it's a negotiation on the Fast Track reference architecture. We sit there and work. It's like the partner may have a technology that satisfies the design, but not in the way we thought it would. We can't come up with every thought of how a partner would satisfy design. So having the partners run their own technology through this and become a validated system center, or a validated component is key. We've got to have the partners here. And it's better for you as a customer. And it's a reference implementation ready to integrate into your environments. I keep fighting the battle inside Microsoft, and they say, well, Fast Track is just a reference architecture, just a piece of paper. Well, yes, Fast Track does have a reference architecture, does have that piece of paper. What you get when you work with your partners is a physical solution. It's a reference implementation. It shows up, it's ready to work. I dispel that fallacy pretty much daily at Microsoft, is that while these solutions are built on a reference architecture, they are something physical, they are something that will solve your business problem. So lastly, I come to the very end here. We are going to take questions up here in front. I would ask the hardware partners to come up, and Brian and I will be up front, is please fill out your evaluations. I used to say this even as a high school teacher. I was a weird high school teacher. I asked my high school students to evaluate me. Now, if that doesn't take courage, trust me. I ask that you fill out the evaluations. I don't get better if I don't get feedback, and that's a very heartfelt request. And so please fill out your evaluations. I hope the session met your goals and your needs. And I guess there's some prizes involved, too. So, folks, come up and ask any questions. And thank you so much for your time.